Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Beth. How's it going?
It's going right along.
Yeah?
Right along, as it should, I suppose.
Well, we're in April, or the end of April-ish.
And things are slower. Mm-hmm. We were so busy, and I just feel like, I'm still busy, you're still busy. We're doing track. Mm. That's an animal.
Mm-hmm. Just your first year in track, huh?
It's our first year in track. It might be our last year in track. Mm-hmm. Although my oldest is fast and he does well and he wins and that's cool. But it's like he's a sprinter. So his are real fast. So I'm like, woo, for 1 minute.
And not even. 12.8 seconds.
Yeah, literally. That's what he did the 100 in. Yes, and 20-some seconds for the 200. But then he does two relays also.
Oh.
So those are a little bit longer because there's like four of them. So he's fun to watch, but it's just so slow to sit there and like people talk to you. I mean, I'm sorry that sounds bad, but it annoys me.
Like, no, I only talked to one person on Thursday morning for hours straight, and that's it.
Yes. Well, that I enjoy. That is true. If you can't book me during that time, I am not available. But I'm going to tell you, I went to this track meet on Monday, last Monday. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my husband didn't go, and my little two kids didn't go. So it was just me. So already I'm like, I'm going to be studying alone, okay? I purposefully tried to make myself be as unapproachable as possible. Not kidding.
Sunglasses, hat,
no,
umbrella.
Umbrella. I brought the comfy chair and a book, dude. Which I feel like if you're reading a book, that's like global red flag to not speak to you. And do you know, I met three teachers from the school. I met another mom whose kids ride our bus.
Mm.
They did not get the memo.
Be careful, they might be listening.
Oh, gosh. I just met them. Anyways, so it's not like personal. I'm sure they're lovely people. And they were lovely. They were perfectly nice. And they were having a great time chatting. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
And I was texting Wes like, you're coming from now. He's like my shield or something.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I just told you that I went and now that my oldest is not actually running in anything because he's doing throwing, it's different because that's usually at the very beginning. The very beginning. Meet. Mm-hmm. And they get it done and out of the way because if they're in other events, they can go and do it. Typically they're not. But anyway, well, yesterday I went and was like, oh, rain delay or lightning delay. And I was going back and forth between driving there because they kept saying, no, it's on. No, it's not. No, it's on. No, it's not. So I finally came home. Then I got there literally at the second that they called his name to throw. And so like I busted my butt to get from the parking lot to where he was throwing, basically walk up. Looks like I'm walking up to the like fence and like recording a random kid. And then I walk away. And I bet you all the parents were like,
creeper.
Because literally that's why I recorded and walked away. I was like, done.
Next time you need to bring your hat and your sunglasses and then they won't identify you unless you're me. Anna, sat at the very top. And don't you just feel like if you sit at the very top, like you don't want to be around people? Like if you want to be around people, you sit in the middle. Yeah, or see all you middle people down there chit-chatting away and planning play dates and all that crap. Come over for a barbecue. I don't sit with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're on the top, you're just chilling, waiting, whatever. If you're at the gate, then you're like in the race. Don't talk to me because my kid's going and whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those are the two places. No, don't talk. Middle, fine.
What the best part is, so my son is the same way. My son that was in the track meet. He's very like – and we say we're extroverted introverts or whatever. And so he was like, on the way home, we leave. And I was like, hey, you did really good in that, you know, whatever it was that he won. And he was like, oh, can I see the video? And I was like, oh, buddy, I didn't take a video. And he was like, oh, seriously? Why didn't you take a video? And I was like, but I was up there and all these moms and teachers and stuff were talking to me. And he was like, oh, you were overwhelmed. I got it. I was like, yes, I was. Thank you.
Thank you for seeing me.
Literally. But then he was like, dad needs to come because he always takes a video. Because Wes would love it. He'd sit there and he actually would sit in the middle.
Yeah.
And be inviting people over for beers and barbecue.
Well, yeah. And you know, it's really funny that you're saying that he said dad would video, because now I videoed because I was the only one at the event and I was like, and it's like 2 seconds and whatever. But the other day I took my youngest for hitting lessons and his hitting coach was like, hey, have you gotten any video of him hitting? And I was like, no. And he's like, what? Well, I need to see him in a game. And he goes, and I was like, well, I'm sorry, but my husband's more of the video taker and he hasn't been at a game. So last night we were there and I was like, video, video.
Yes,
video. So for some reason, Emery is usually the videoer. And
yeah, interesting.
I am for track meets. It's weird. I don't know why.
Hmm. See, I will video for football because I actually do like to watch it back or like show people. Well, I videoed one track meet. I sent it to you, actually. His first track meet, that race he won. I felt like
Wes videoed it and then sent it to you and then you sent it to me. That was my impression of the video.
Yes, because I think I was in the video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember now. Well, I sent it.
I think it was more I heard you like cheering and I'm like, no way that she's holding this camera that straight and cheering like that.
All right. Well, I was there. At least yes, I cheered and got up from my seat and did great. The last one, not so much. I'm bringing my umbrella again today. Okay, so you guys tell us your experience. They probably all think I'm just like a crazy mean person who doesn't ever want to be nice to people. I'm not.
Well, I'm just saying, I think it just comes with age, honestly, because I was not, never. Now I'm like, I have my friends, people, I don't need anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of our friends, we have two new friends over in the closet on Patreon. We have Sharina Peterson and Amy M.
Oh, thanks for joining.
Yeah, Amy is my neighbor, actually.
Yes. So, yay, Amy.
Welcome in, ladies. There's lots of content over there. In fact, whenever she joined, I was like, there's a lot over there for you to catch up on. And I looked and there's like 55 episodes.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's a lot to do. It's a lot.
Gosh, we have those and how many hundreds on regular feed?
Over 200. We're nailing it.
Wow.
Yeah. So lots to do. So thank you very much. And that's all my business. Do you have any business?
Yep.
All right. Well, I have a case for you today.
Great.
Here we go. Okay. So this case was suggested by our listener, Casey, who lives down in Georgia.
Oh.
And she lives in the county where, or one of the counties that part of this occurred.
Is it like Casey G?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just remember
her name.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, yeah. Anyway. Okay. So we'll be in Marietta, Georgia and Cumming, Georgia.
That's where Xavier was born.
Marietta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've been in Cumming several times.
Mm, yes.
So
it's like the true crime of Georgia.
City. I literally had that. There's a lot of murdering happened down there. Yeah. Cumming is like Florida in one city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this case is crazy. Obviously, there's no exception. We're going to be talking about murder. It's the case of Glenn Turner and Randy Thompson.
Okay.
Okay. Maurice Glenn Turner was born on September 5th, 1663 in here, which is hilarious because it's not. It's this century. It's 1963.
Got it.
Nailing it already. Mm-hmm. Two parents, Dillard and Kathy Turner. He had a sister, Linda, and a brother, James, and grew up in Marietta. Glenn is described as being easygoing, likable, and very trusting. He was a police officer for Cobb County. which is the county that Marietta is in, and he really loved his job, and he actually was said to have been one of the good cops.
Okay.
So I just want to bring that up.
Yes, Georgia's, yay for him.
Yes. Glenn loved motorcycles from a young age, so right out of school, he became a motorcycle cop.
Oh.
He was a big guy, and everyone saw him as a teddy bear. In 1991, Glenn met a beautiful woman named Julia Lynn Womack, who went by Lynn. So Lynn was a 911 dispatcher, which is a really cool job. I've actually thought about doing that as a job.
I think it would be a cool job, honestly.
I do too. So that's what she did. And she was about 5 years younger than Glenn. She had a really big personality, and she was, like, good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn had tried to become a police officer herself, but she didn't pass all of the exams necessary. So she got the job as the dispatcher, and she also worked as a civilian with the undercover narcotics unit.
Ooh.
Yes. So that's cool and dangerous sounding. She liked to be around law enforcement.
Mm-hmm, clearly.
It was like a thing that people said about her. And so even when she wasn't like working with law enforcement, she always was hanging around the bars where the local cops would frequent.
Mm.
And she was friends with a lot of the police officers in Marietta, which is how she met Glenn.
Do you remember the cop bar in Wausau? Didn't we take you there? Yeah, that picture of Emery.
Oh my gosh.
And Wes is from that place.
Also, I have a picture in front of a like a thing, like a mugshot.
Oh,
where it has the height behind you, and you can, I have a picture of me like that.
I love a cop bar.
Yeah, so she did too.
Mm-hmm.
She really took to Lynn. She like really liked him, which was kind of a surprise to him because he knew her, like everyone knew her, and he always kind of saw her as out of his league.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really smitten with Lynn, and she actually pursued Glenn pretty hard. Like, she pursued him. So she was, like, showering him with affection, attention. She was very open about that she was extremely attracted to him and that she just, like, wanted to jump his bones all the time. And she seemed to be kind of infatuated with him.
Hmm.
So it was a little over the top for Glenn's friends and family. They kind of saw her as, like, she's extra.
Mm-hmm.
Especially his cop buddies, because they know her and they know that she just in general likes cops. And so it's like, why are they going so hard now all of a sudden for this one? But they were happy for Glenn because he was kind of a bachelor. He had never really settled down and gotten serious with anyone before. And it seemed like he'd finally found someone that he enjoyed spending time with, who was nice to him. They both loved NASCAR and they would attend races together all the time. For Christmas of 1992, Glenn surprised Lynn with an engagement ring.
Mm.
And the two of them got married about 8 months later in August of 1993. Okay, so pretty immediately after Glenn and Lynn got married, Glenn and Lynn.
I know. I'm like, I don't even know. It's like a tongue twister. I don't know how you're doing it.
Well, it's funny because I haven't said it out loud until just now. I've just been writing it, and that is comical a little bit.
Mm.
So Glenn and Lynn. They got married, and Glenn noticed immediately a switch in Lynn's personality and behavior. So she started to distance herself from Glenn, and she stopped being affectionate, or really, she stopped, like, being nice to him in general. Glenn tried to bridge this gap that seemed to be, like, building between the two of them, and his coworkers would hear him on the phone with Lynn, and he would ask her, "Can I bring you anything after my shift? How is your day going? Normal?" Husband to wife conversations, but he would always get off the phone frustrated and shaking his head, saying things like, "I don't know why I even bother," just kind of exasperated by the way that she was behaving. Glenn also confided in his good friend that even though they had been married for a few months, Lynn had developed a female problem. I'm putting this in quotes, and they only have had sex 2 times since their marriage.
Oh.
Like, so since the wedding, they've been married for months, but have only had sex 2.
Do we know what the female problem is?
No.
Okay.
I do not. I don't know. I'm guessing Glenn did.
Right.
But I don't know. So on top of getting kind of a cold shoulder from Lynn, Glenn also realized that she was a very big spender. Mm. So he's a cop. She's a 911 dispatcher. They did not make a ton of money. Decent amount of money, like a living, yes. But she was definitely living way outside of mm-hmm. those means. She racked up huge credit card debts and would finance big purchases like cars, televisions, you know, just racking up all this debt that they really did not have the funds to pay. And Glenn actually ended up getting a second job at a gas station in order to just make ends meet and attempt to pay off the debt that Lynn was racking up.
Was she like this before they got married?
No.
Hmm.
No, she was sunshine and roses Lynn.
Well, I know, but do we know if she racked up debt, that part of it?
I don't know.
Mm.
I think they were fairly young when they got married. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like mid-20s. Maybe a little younger, her at least. So I'm not real sure.
Okay.
So the financial issues were also a point of contention, on top of the fact that Lynn was being really mean, that they weren't, you know, they weren't having an intimate relationship. And if Glenn tried to cut her off and say, you need to calm the spending down, she would pop off and get very angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
So just a few months into their marriage, Glenn and Lynn began sleeping in separate bedrooms and almost never spent time together or really even spoke. So they're already living the roommate life. This is literally like the months after they got married. So Glenn was heartbroken by the way that Lynn was treating him, and he was confused and just sad about the whole situation and stressed about the money problems. But he did try to work on the marriage for a while and like attempted to do things, but he finally got fed up and he told Lynn that he was going to leave and file for divorce.
Hmm.
He made arrangements to move out of their house and move in with his dad. So he was supposed to move out towards the end of February of 1995, which is about 18 months into their marriage. But a week or so before he was supposed to move out, he got really sick. Like he came down with a stomach bug. And so it was like all postponed because he was just so sick. He was like, forget it. I'm calling into work. I feel bad. He was like throwing up, having stomach pains and like other issues that go on when you have a virus like that.
Mm.
So Glenn called into work 3 days in a row, which his friends and coworkers said he had literally never done his whole life. Like they were like, he was on death's door. Like he was so sick. So his friend called to check on him, and he said he had never been this sick his entire life and that he thought he was actually going to go to the hospital to see if he could get something to like help with the throwing up. And, you know, he probably was felt dehydrated and all that stuff. So Lynn actually did what she could to help Glenn because they're still living together at this point. And even though their relationship was coming to an end, she would like bring him fluids, like help him clean up. And finally, it got too much for even her. And so she took Glenn to the emergency room.
So she started acting nice again to him when he got sick?
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think that she just was like, oh my gosh, he is really sick. Like
mm-hmm.
She was living in the house with him. Like obviously she's not going to let him sit in his own
mm-hmm.
vomit or whatever. Like she helped and she took him to the emergency room. So he was diagnosed with the flu and was given IV fluids and medication, and he started feeling better. The medication helped, and so he was sent home. There was no reason to be concerned. Glenn was 31 years old, young, healthy, active, no medical conditions. They had no reason to believe that he would not recover with like rest and medicine. And he did start to feel better to the point that he was finally able to eat something for the first time in days, which mm-hmm. was great. So since Glenn was feeling better the following day, Lynn actually decided, okay, he's good. I have to leave and go run some errands, because she had kind of started in the days when he was really sick. She was like putting things off and staying home to like be if he needed her. So she decided she could go. She felt comfortable. He was doing better. So this is Friday, March 3rd. Lynn and Glenn, she got him settled. And she left to go run errands. When she came home a few hours later, she found Glenn in his bed, unresponsive, covered in his own vomit and other like bodily fluids. Oh.
Lynn called 911, and when paramedics arrived, they actually determined there was nothing that they could do for him, and they pronounced Glenn dead.
Oh my gosh.
31. Right. So Lynn and Glenn's friends and family were shocked and devastated because this had escalated so quickly, especially since he was starting to feel better. So they requested that an autopsy be done. So the autopsy showed that Glenn was perfectly healthy. The only abnormalities that they found was that he had an enlarged heart and signs of irregular heartbeat.
Hmm.
So his manner of death was listed as natural causes, with the cause being cardiac related.
Hmm.
So they thought maybe he's had this for a while. His heart was compromised. He got the flu and it just took him out. So they're super confused because he didn't have a history of heart issues or medical conditions that they knew of. And it's most likely he would have felt bad and he never mentioned anything. But
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do? Toxicology screening came back normal. No indications of foul play. There wasn't anything in his system except for like a green jello substance, which Lynn said that's what she had made for him when he started to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So everything seemed like just a tragic heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they held a funeral for Glenn and they tried their best to move on. And everyone just kind of had to accept the fact that Glenn had been stressed. He was exhausted. He was having marital issues. Apparently this underlying heart thing they didn't know about, got the flu, and his body just didn't have its normal strength or immune system to like fight it off properly. Mm-hmm. Lynn ended up going under some scrutiny in the days and weeks after Glenn's death because his friends and family felt like she was not really grieving. Which we say all the time is like there's not an appropriate way to behave. And most people kind of saw it that way and chalked it up to the fact that she was just in a weird position because the two of them were estranged. Like they were not together and were, you know, not going to be together and be married anymore. And then all of a sudden now he's dead, which is just a weird position to be in.
Right.
But here she is collecting on his $200,000 in life insurance, which she was the beneficiary of because she was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She also received about $750 a month from Glenn's officer pension.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So Lynn, because his friends and family were just kind of like not being very nice to her, I guess, because she wasn't being very nice to Glenn towards the end. And so she ended up moving and she moved to Cumming, Georgia, which is like 45 minutes away from Marietta. And that's actually where she was originally from.
Okay.
And she kind of just cut herself off from Glenn's family and friends and was like, you know what? I don't need this. I need to move on with my life. So she moved. And she got a job working as a secretary at the district attorney's office in Cumming. Almost immediately after Glenn's death, Lynn actually met a new man. And she got pretty serious with this man. This was Randy Thompson. So Randy was a divorced father and he had one child. He had previously been a sheriff's deputy for the Forsyth County Police Department, but had changed careers and became a firefighter, which was his dream job his whole life. He was born June 12th, 1968, and he grew up in Georgia. He's described as being kind and generous, and he was really close to his mom, Nita, and his two sisters, Kimberly and Brandy. And then he also has this child. Randy did like to party, and there were some occasions when his drinking would become pretty heavy, but he was a good man, good dad. You know, that's pretty much all everybody said good, good, good about him. When Randy met Lynn, he was taken by storm by this woman. So much like she did Glenn, she showered Randy with gifts. She took him on trips. They went on cruises. She seemed to be over the moon for Randy. And she spent a bunch of money on him and attention. And just a few months after moving to Cumming, Lynn actually like bought her and Randy a house. Hmm. Now, meanwhile, keep in mind where she's getting all this money.
Right. Her dead husband.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they move in together and they seemed very happy. Less than a year later, in January of 1996, Lynn and Randy had a daughter that they named Amber. And then shortly after that, they had a son that they named Blake. So now this their happy little family of four. So Randy did propose to Lynn and he really wanted to marry her officially. He gave her a ring but they never got married. And most likely, this is just me speculating, I would guess it's because if Lynn remarried, she would probably lose that $750 a month pension.
Yeah.
That probably. She was receiving mm-hmm. after Glenn's death, because that's like spousal support kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she would lose it. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that for sure. After a few years, it became pretty clear to everyone, though, that Randy and Lynn were no longer happy together. So Randy's drinking seemed to be getting worse, and he seemed stressed all the time. He and Lynn were having financial problems because, guess what? Lynn was overspending, and they were no longer, like, getting along and just seemed to be a little bit toxic at this point. In 1997, so this is a couple years after they got together, Lynn actually charged Randy with battery, claiming that he hit her in the mouth. And he was convicted and given 10 months of probation for this.
Hmm.
So it seems like there were some physical situations going on as well with children in the home, which is really unfortunate. At one point, Randy got so despondent over their marital issues that he actually attempted to overdose with medication. Thankfully, after he took the pills, he called someone and told them what he had done. And they came immediately and took him to the hospital, and he was able to be treated and ended up being physically okay from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it just goes to show you how bad their relationship had to have been for him to feel that way and like cry out so loudly
mm-hmm.
for right. help. So finally, in 1999, Randy had had enough of their relationship. And although he hated to leave his children, he did move out of the house and into an apartment. He told his friends and family that he had to get out of that relationship for his own sanity.
Okay.
So it was literally driving him, the bonkers. Like, he couldn't take it anymore. Lynn continued to kind of string Randy along, particularly using the children as pawns against him, which is like the oldest trick in the book and super mm-hmm. nasty. And despite how bad things were when they were together, Randy was still loyal. And he still loved his family, and he wanted to have a decent relationship with Lynn, if he could. That was his desire. Like, right. I don't know if he necessarily wanted to be with her anymore, but he wanted to have a friendship and a relationship and co-parent. On January 19th of 2001, Lynn invited Randy to meet with her to discuss, like, the children and their relationship and even a possible reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
which he was kind of unsure about, but at the same time was like, I'm gonna hear her out. Like, I love this woman, and she's the mother of my children. So Randy went. He went to the meeting, and everything seemed to go well. So not long afterwards, Randy actually came down with a really bad stomach flu. He was throwing up. He was having stomach pain. He was even so sick that he was like hallucinating. So, like, I don't know if that was fever-induced or whatever. So his sister and mom, who he was really close to, were very worried about Randy, and so they would check up on him, and they finally urged him to go to the hospital and get some help, which he did. Randy was given IV fluids, like anti-nausea medication. He started to feel better, and so they sent him home. So after that, a few days went by, and no one heard from Randy. So he was, like, calling out sick to work, and then all of a sudden he just wasn't calling.
Mm-hmm.
So Randy's family also was trying to reach him. They called the fire department. They learned that he hadn't been to work and no one had heard from him. So they're alarmed, and one of the fellow firemen went to his apartment to check on him. Unfortunately, Randy was found dead on January 22nd of 2001, laying on his couch in a pool of his own vomit.
Husband number two.
Yes, and he was 32.
Well, not husband, so I guess.
Yeah, but I read in some places that he was a common law husband, mm-hmm. but they were only living together for 6 years, and it's normally 7 or 9, and I don't even know if Georgia does that. So
right. mm-hmm.
they were not officially married. That was like a really big deal mm-hmm. in everything. So, of course, Lynn and the family were devastated. I mean, he's got three young children at this point. He has two mm-hmm. with Lynn, and then he had one from a previous marriage. So they requested an autopsy be performed. Randy was also found to have had an enlarged heart, and he also had some, like, cardiac issues.
Hmm.
So it was determined that those were his cause of death and that it was natural causes. Nothing else was found in his system and he had no other medical conditions or issues. No foul play was found. So again, the family is heartbroken, especially for the children. And they all just tried to accept that he, you know, had these underlying issues, whatever. Okay, you have to remember, this is a different town, and they know nothing about Glenn. Okay,
that's so the family. Exactly what I was just thinking. Like, they're not connecting it. Because
no, they're not. They have no knowledge of it whatsoever. So this was really hard, like, for them to stay with, like, support the kids and stuff after Randy died, because Lynn kind of started to back away, much like she did after Glenn's death. And she really wasn't letting them have contact with the kids like she should have. Until one day, Randy's mom got a letter from a woman who said that she was the mother of a man named Glenn Turner. So this woman wrote that she had heard about Randy's death through some of her son Glenn's police officer friends. So Randy is still kind of in this, like, police civil servant arena. And they had heard about his death and they said, oh, he just got the flu and then ended up having cardiac issues. And so Glenn's friends were like, dude, our friend died the exact same way, like, a few years before. That's weird. So the similarities in the two deaths were chilling to everyone who was, you know, surrounded by Glenn. And to top it off, both men had been in a romantic relationship with the same woman, Lynn Turner. So that is the connection. So at this point, Randy's family is like, what the heck? This is crazy. This is suspect to us. And so were Glenn's, who apparently were already, like, suspect and side-eyeing Lynn anyway. So they joined forces and began working together to see if they could figure out what happened to these two young, perfectly healthy men, and to figure out how it was possible that their deaths were identical.
Right.
And poor Lynn, right? Like, how could she have been so unlucky to have both men in her life die tragically so young in the exact same way?
Like, yeah, I don't know if I'm on the poor Lynn train.
So law enforcement at first kind of threw their hands up and said, like, listen, their deaths were ruled as natural causes. What can we do? Like, there's nothing to investigate here. We have nothing. But the family refused to let it go. So they actually contacted the media and journalists and put Lynn on blast, trying to get these two cases' attention and, like, demanding the public to, like, help them get answers for Glenn and Randy's death. So one journalist took a real liking to this particular story, and she decided that she was going to help this family. And she had a little pull because she was a very successful journalist in that area. And she started pursuing, like, all of this and investigating it and really doing, like, the cop's job. So she was able to find out that Lynn had actually started dating Randy 9 months into her marriage with Glenn.
Oh.
So they were together and she was pursuing him while she was married to Glenn. She was married to Glenn for 18 months. So after 9 months of being married, she was already, like, having an affair.
So that's why she moved to Cumming.
That's why she moved to Cumming, because that's where he lived. Now, she told Randy and his family when she did move to Cumming that she was divorced. So they knew nothing about Glenn. Like I said, knew nothing about that he had died, all of that. The journalist also found out that Lynn had been the beneficiary of Randy's $200,000 life insurance policy. So Randy is boyfriend. Get this. In between Randy's funeral and driving to the cemetery, Lynn called the insurance company to request a payout. Did not even bury the man.
I mean, how obvious can you be?
Okay, but she was surprised to learn that Randy had actually let the policy lapse because he didn't pay the premiums. So it was discovered, which, you know what? We'll get there. Okay. It was discovered that just days before Randy's death, Lynn had visited an animal shelter and she had said that she was having a stray cat problem and asked to buy the drugs to euthanize the animals.
No.
Like on her own. So the shelter employee was like, no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. We're not going to sell those to you, ma'am. Who are you? No. So the family, with the help of this journalist, who is like an amateur detective, a pretty dang good one, in my opinion, mm-hmm. took all of this information to police. Like, isn't this coincidental?
Right.
Finally, they agreed to let a medical examiner take another look at Randy's autopsy. And I think this medical examiner was like a more specialized one. So he found, and it was interesting, I watched a forensic files on this, and they were saying, like, you know, if you suspect that somebody has been like drugged or poisoned, you can't just globally test for every little single thing that they might be,
mm-hmm.
you know, have in their system. You have to kind of know, like, oh, it's probably the drugs that are used to euthanize animals. Let's test for that or whatever. Right. Like, you can't. So it's really hard. You have to really narrow it down. But anyway, so this medical examiner was looking at Randy's autopsy to see if there was any indication that he did have substances in his system. And he found in Randy's kidney that he had this crystal-like substance.
Mm-hmm.
So the presence of this is an indicator that the person has ingested a chemical compound called ethylene glycol. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
It's the active ingredient in antifreeze.
Oh, yes. Then yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've had antifreeze things before.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So he said, I think this man had antifreeze in his system. So he tested Randy for antifreeze. And they actually found that he did have a lethal dose of antifreeze in his system at the time of his death.
Huh.
So at this point, his death was ruled a homicide, and Lynn was the prime suspect. Lynn immediately got an attorney. She denied these claims. I didn't do it. Investigators at that point didn't have enough like forensic evidence to say that Lynn had actually poisoned Randy, but they were like, but you did, though. We know you did.
Yeah.
So they continued to dig and actually started reinvesting Glenn's death from 6 years prior, mm-hmm. because they were like, if we can prove that he was also drugged or poisoned, boom.
Mm-hmm.
She is definitely the only connection between the two. So they exhumed Glenn's body, and it was noted that he also had evidence in his kidneys of ethylene glycol. So when his body was tested, he also had a lethal dose of antifreeze.
Jeez.
Antifreeze, though.
Right. I know.
Anyway,
it boggles my mind how awful that stuff is, but it doesn't have a taste.
Well, I'm actually going to talk about that because I did dig into this because I was like, yeah, I'll get there too. I had the same concern.
Mm-hmm.
So in November of 2002, Lynn Turner was arrested. She was charged with the murders of Glenn Turner and Randy Thompson, claiming her innocence all over Georgia. The prosecution theorized, based on Glenn and Randy's stomach contents, that Glenn had been poisoned with Jell-O, green mm-hmm. Jell-O, and that Randy had been poisoned with sweet tea.
Mm.
Okay, the motives for both murders were speculated to have been for money, except she didn't get any money for Randy's because the insurance policy had lapsed, which I was going to say this, verify before you murder.
Well, yeah, I was going to say she didn't know. She thought she was getting money.
Right, but like, yeah. If he's responsible for paying the premiums,
yeah,
and he's not living with you and hasn't for a couple years, and you were never married. Number one, make sure he didn't remove you as a beneficiary when he moved out, and number two, make sure there's still a policy before you go murdering.
Yeah, I wonder how you go about doing that, because I'd imagine. Well, like, can you just call and inquire about that?
If you're a beneficiary, you could.
Okay. I mean, I just wouldn't imagine. Yeah, I would just, to me, that would be, well, no, I'm not going to give you that information, because what if you're calling to know if you should murder somebody?
Well, maybe now they wouldn't, but yeah. We're a little more savvy now, I hope. Mm-hmm. I would like to think. Okay, so both Glenn and Randy were done with Lynn and were either about to leave her or already had, and she wanted that money, and so she killed them. In an extremely torturous way. Like, that is that's a terrible death. Okay, so about the antifreeze. At the time of their death, so one was in 95 and one was in 2001, Antifreeze was a green liquid,
mm-hmm.
and it had a very sweet taste.
Like, oh, that's what I remember it being sweet.
Candy on steroids kind yeah. of thing. Okay, so now the formula has actually been changed, and it has got something in it that makes it unbearable to mm-hmm. taste. Like, you cannot ingest it. You would throw mm-hmm. up immediately. So that's good. Can't be mm-hmm. poisoned with antifreeze anymore. So in May of 2004, Lynn was found guilty of Glenn's murder. And then in March of 2007, she was found guilty of Randy's. She was given life without parole for both murders and was serving her sentence at the Metro State Prison in DeKalb County, Georgia. However, in August of 2010, after serving 6 years of her life sentence, Lynn Turner was found dead in her shared jail cell.
Did she poison herself?
Yep. She died of an overdose of her blood pressure medication.
Oh.
So apparently she had been hoarding her medication instead of taking it like she was supposed to, and she kept it until she had enough to cause her own death.
What a coward.
So her death was ruled a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Total coward, absolutely. So I actually read in one article a quote that said that they felt like her death was deserved because she killed by poison and then she died by poison.
Mm.
Not only the poison that she ingested herself, but also her black soul that led her to
mm-hmm.
kill other yeah. people and have and need to ingest medication mm-hmm. to kill herself. Okay. Lynn and Randy's children, so they had two children, were raised by Lynn's mother. At the time of Lynn's death, they were only 12 and 14.
Wow.
So all of this happened in very, very young ages. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Randy's other child. I mean, he was older for sure, he or she. But that child is not named, so I don't know. Lynn claimed that she was innocent until the day she died. Friends and family commented that these were both good men that unfortunately fell in love with the she-devil. And they did think that her, literally a direct quote,
yeah,
that her death was upsetting, but that they did not. They're like, we're not mad about it. Like, mm-hmm. it is what it is. Okay, wow. So our listener, Casey, who suggested mm-hmm. this case, she lives in the same county that Randy lived in. So mm-hmm. Forsyth County. Her mother was on the jury for Randy's wow. trial. Isn't that crazy?
For which one, do you know?
Randy.
Oh, you said Randy. Sorry, I didn't
yeah, know. So the second one, the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she said that her mom told her that Lynn was like a really sick and twisted woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was.
Sounds
and
like
I watched
it.
Some of the trial footage, mm-hmm. and I was like, I wonder if I saw your mom.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And Lynn is called the antifreeze killer. And is technically on now today's standards a serial killer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking at the when you started talking about it. But yeah, I mean, she probably would have gone on to do it again.
100%. She was so young when, mm-hmm. I mean, she was 27 when Glenn died. Immediately, well, was already in another relationship with Randy. So she would have been 33 when he died.
So does anybody know if she was already in a relationship with somebody else?
I don't know. No, I never saw anything about that, but I would not doubt it for one daggone second. This
you
woman
think
is awful.
At this point, somebody would have like come forward and been like, oh my gosh, she was dating me at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like just to be like, I could have been next.
You definitely would have been next.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind.
And I don't know how she could say she was innocent because until she died. Because, well, the sweet tea, clearly, like, whatever, he could have gotten sweet tea. She said that she gave him Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, how else, like, if that's how they said that he ingested it.
Well, that's what they think, because okay. that was one of the only things in his stomach.
Well, yeah, because he was throwing everything up.
Right. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think she probably gave it to him multiple times.
Well,
that's
yeah,
my opinion.
Well, yeah, he was sick for days, so she probably, like, ramped it
better.
Up. Mm-hmm. Like as she went until it was like, okay, now you need to die. And then here's the lethal dosage.
Terrible. And it's one thing, I mean, she did this to Glenn and it's like, oh, it's also very interesting to point out too that so she killed Glenn with antifreeze. And then mm-hmm. with Randy, she actually tried to get the drugs from the
animal right. shelter. So she didn't want to use antifreeze again. So I mm-hmm. even think that she was so with it that she was like, man, if they find out it's antifreeze ever,
mm-hmm.
that's going to definitely be too coincidental and I'll definitely be in the hot spot. So let me get right. something else that won't show up.
Jeez.
That they won't test for. So she did try.
She probably didn't want to Google something else either because then they would have found
it. Yeah.
Well, what to use instead of antifreeze?
2001. I don't know if that was even like the interweb was a baby.
Yeah, it was. It definitely yeah. was a baby. Yeah. Gosh, that's so long ago.
It is. Anyway, I'm really glad. And I told Casey too. I'm like, your mom is awesome because she helped give justice to Glenn and Randy's families.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I would not be mad about being on a jury, a murder trial jury. I don't think they'd let us. I've thought about this more than I should have. I think if they found out we were true crime podcasters, they'd be like, no, you are dismissed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they are so hard up for juries now that it's like, because mm-hmm. it used to be anybody related to a cop. Like, I was always like, I'm in the skating free. My dad was a cop, but now.
So one time I got dismissed from a jury because my brother was an attorney.
Right.
A criminal attorney in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wouldn't let me do it. And I was real upset. I was like, yeah, 19.
Right. I mean, I would have actually liked to have done jury mm-hmm. duty. I mean, now I would. Now I would like to.
Yeah.
Back then when it was like, oh, I was of age, whatever. And my dad's like, you don't have to worry about it because you're a cop's daughter. Like, you're never going to get called. And even if you do, like, they're going to be like, see ya.
Yeah.
But so now I would love it.
I do. But I would, me too. Make my, what is it, like $20 a day or something?
They oh,
make,
yeah, like, I know, right? I don't
even know what it is. Lunch. Sequester me, baby.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, I'm not sad that she's dead, but.
Oh, and also, we should say being on a jury would be a really stressful job to have to determine the course of the person's life. Like, we make light of it. Like, it'd be, oh, so fun, but like, that'd be super heavy.
Agreed. Depending on the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, for me, it would be like super interesting to be mm-hmm. part of that process to like exactly. really understand it. Cause like, you know, we think we understand most of it, but it's like, well, I don't have firsthand knowledge of like how it goes and whatever. So anyway.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I watched a show called 12 or The 12.
Mm-hmm.
recently, and it was about a jury who had to like, yeah, it's, I mean, it was a drama, but anyway, it wasn't that great, but it still made me like, oh, interesting.
I would do it. I would do my civic duty if asked.
Yeah, I probably would too, as long as like it wasn't, you know, being a time that I was going on some giant trip.
Well, but vacation.
But I'm going to New Zealand. I can't.
Understandable.
Yeah. Florida, meh. I'll take the jury.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, thanks for sending that in, Casey, and sharing that your mom was part of that. And
mm-hmm.
whatever. And thanks for diving into that. Because
yeah, you're welcome. Terrible lady.
Yeah. I was about to say that I am not sad that she's dead, but I just hate when people do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're like,
serve your time.
Right. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Yep.
Like, don't do it. Like, if you get caught, you get caught, and you need to, like, be punished for it.
Yeah, agreed.
But anyway, whatever. And also, make sure she's taking her medicine.
I know. I didn't even know you could overdose with blood pressure. I mean, it makes sense, but, like, that seems like that would really suck. Like, yeah. That would be, like, a real bad way to go. But guess what? So is antifreeze.
Does that lower your blood pressure to the point where it just stops? Like, it lowers it so much?
I wonder what that would do.
I know. I did not
Google it.
I was going to say, I did not go down that rabbit hole. I was done with Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and of course, it's like you said, the things I have to Google, I'm definitely on a list right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, because I was Googling all this stuff about antifreeze.
Right.
That's why I said that, because I was like, somebody is definitely going to flag my computer and be like, why does she want to know
Don't
so much about
any
the chemical
right
compound and how it crystallizes in your kidneys and like how long it would take to die and all this. I'm Googling all this stuff.
Like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Don't buy any right now because you will definitely be flagged. They're looking at all the security cameras at all the Home Depots and Lowe's.
Well, you can't do it anymore because it tastes bad.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true.
But they took it out of the arsenal for the murderers. You have
to, like, inject it in them with a syringe. Anyway. I don't know. Why? This, okay.
See what I'm saying?
I know. Done. We're done. We're done. You're done.
I'm done. Rest in peace, Glenn and Randy.
Yes. So sad. Man, I was like so excited about Glenn getting together with this person that he thought was out of his league. And like he was like happy. And then he wasn't really quickly after they actually got married. So. And those poor children, to know that their mom killed their dad and then also killed herself. But anyway. Well, thank you for diving in. Let us know what you think about this case. I'm sure we'll probably hear from Casey.
Yeah. And if you've ever had jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. I want to know everything.
Right. If you know what?
Ooh.
I'm wondering, like, could we do some sort of, like, bonus or even live where we have, like, people who
interview
were on
people?
Jury duty? Yeah. And like if they can
then
share
we can do the
experience.
Case and then let them tell us their part of the experience.
Right. If they're allowed to talk about it. Because I would imagine, although I guess if it's done, you're allowed to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And also if they are willing.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people might be like, I don't want to tell people I was on that jury. Like, you know, whatever. But yeah, if you've been on a case, a jury, and it's also a case we could do, then we could do the case and have you, like, at the end.
With, yes. Write us immediately.
Yes. Let us know. Mm-hmm. I love when, like, ideas
Crimes
just
– crimesandclosets@gmail.com.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stop write what us. You're doing.
Or on our Instagram or Facebook. We look at all of them. We get all the messages. So
yes.
Anyways. Cool. Ooh, I'm excited now. All right. So write us in. Let us know what you think about this case. Let us know what you think of jury duty if you don't want to share what case you were on or whatever. Oh, anything. For any reason. We like to hear from all of you all of the time.
All the time.
And I think that's it. And go check us out over on our Patreon. We have always two episodes a month, one fun, one crime. So $3 a month gets you some more fun if you're so inclined. And just always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closets.